Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We have been looking at this idea of self-control. I have to share something with you briefly. And self-control is a fruit. Self-control is not what you do. Self-control is an outcome of who you're connected to. You see, when you're connected to God, and you're in a relationship with Him, He's helping you with all your decisions and your responses. And so what it does is it comes out in a healthy self-control. What's it look like? Somebody may be mistreating you or saying something unkind to you. You give them grace and mercy. You don't give them back what they gave to you, you give them back better than what they gave to you. If they throw ugly at you, right, Mike? You give them kindness back. You see that? That's because you're connected to Christ. It's not your circumstances and situation that should control you. Elizabeth Elliot said this, and her husband was killed as a missionary. Landed on an island. Hours later, he was speared to death. He went there to bring the gospel. This is what she said. She said, circumstances and situations should never dictate to you who you are and your response. It should always be not the outward, but it's the Christ in you is what you should respond from. You see? The Christ in you. That's how I'm going to respond. And I'm going to give a healthy response and an expression of Christ. And that's what we want. Circumstances are not going to dictate to us, right? And our feelings aren't going to. They're indicators. Your feelings are indicators, but they're not dictators. We want to keep our feelings under the auspices of God. Amen? We don't want to let feelings drive the car, because if they do, you're going to wreck. You don't want them driving. You don't want to be led by your feelings, right? They're only indicators. They're not dictators. So, I got to tell you this story real quick. Wednesday night, I was here, and we've been practicing this self-control and paying attention to the Holy Spirit, okay? And so I did a brief teaching here Wednesday night, and what we did is we had ice cream after the teaching. So everybody went out on the front lawn, all the kids and everybody. We had ice cream, and we hung out and hooped it up for a little bit, had some fun. So I was leaving, and I was standing out here on the port, on the steps out here, and I was talking to Donita and I think it was Courtney. Yeah, Courtney was standing out there. We're just talking. And someone walks out with all these kids around her. And a couple of them were teenagers. And she walks out, and I just bumped her on the shoulder like this. I just did that on her shoulder. I was talking to Donita and Courtney right there. And when I did that, pay attention, God is my witness. I felt God's presence so strong. It's like I got delirious for a minute. It's like, what is this? And it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, I didn't want to say anything. So I didn't want to sound. But I have to tell you. And I thought, this is so strong. And I felt it. Because I'm paying attention to the Holy Spirit. I felt it. And so I get home, and Donita just starts talking about the person I did that on their shoulder with. She says, oh yeah, she brought all these kids, and these are people in her family. She goes and picks them all up. 10 of them. Was it 10? 10 of them. She takes them up to Airstream. I like to say that way. But Airstream, and she takes them on the tour. But now look, now she brings them back to church. All these kids, they aren't all hers by a long shot. She wants them to know Christ. She wants them to be saved. Are you listening to me? She goes and gets them. That's the love of God. And that's what came out of her when I did that. And the Holy Spirit showed me. Nobody said anything. It was just there. Huh? She was doing what she's supposed to be doing. It was the love of God. You see, when you love God, you'll pick somebody up and go out of your way to help them in. Am I making sense? When the love of God is in operation, it helps people. Always. How many times? Always. I'm talking about the love of God, the agape love. That's what this fruit of the Spirit is all about. The fruit of God's Spirit is the fruit of His love, the Holy Spirit. You can't produce any of this fruit we've been talking about without being connected to the Holy Spirit. You see that? Love, agape love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. All those are produced out of a love relationship with Jesus. You can't produce any of them without Jesus. You see, what happens, you will produce frustration and misery and resentment and unforgiveness. And bitterness. All those are fruit from not being connected to God, your source and your creator. Am I making sense? So that's the idea. When you understand this, it changes your world. Jesus came and said in Matthew 4:17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means change your mind. We've been talking about you have to change your mind if you're going to understand this kingdom. You can go to church every day till you're blue in the face. If you don't understand repentance, you can't produce anything that's going to come from God. Jesus said you need to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now, think about this. He said repent. He's inaugurating the kingdom. That's what he's doing. He's bringing in the gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel is the word euangelion, euangelion. The word angel is right in the middle of that word. Messenger, that's what angel means, messenger. Jesus was the messenger with the gospel, the good news, the too good to be true news. So he's bringing in the kingdom. He says, I've got good news. Hebrews 8:6 says, a better covenant, a new covenant of grace and mercy and truth. Do you see this? That's what he's saying. I'm helping you with a better way to live. But you have to change your mind in order to live in it. The word gospel was never even used in the Old Testament. It starts in the New Testament. And it's about this kingdom. Change your mind. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Think about this. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're to be doing his will here on earth. We bring heaven to earth because we've been born again into his family. And now when we do the will of God, we're fulfilled in life. There's fulfillment. You're not looking for anything else. In Proverbs 19, it says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. The word satisfaction means fulfilled. You're fulfilled. You're full. You're not looking for anything else. You're fulfilled in life. You see that? You're not going around looking for something else to fix an appetite or fix some addiction. You're full. You're satisfied. God is showing you who you are because you're in his will. And you're discovering who you are, the higher version of you. That's what repent means. Back to pent, highest level. Back to the highest level of you. That's what repentance is all about. He's trying to show you the high version of who he created you for. Are you with me? I know I'm preaching a little bit, but that's why we're here. Now pay attention. He's inaugurating the kingdom. Repent. So when you hear the word repent, it's not negative. It's not negative. It's a good word. Embrace the word repentance. Change your mind. That's what it means. Here's the Greek word, metanoia. Metanoia. So repent, metanoia, because this kingdom's at hand. You got to change your mind if you're going to operate in this kingdom. Now watch this. Metanoia. Meta means change. Noia means mind. Okay, watch this. Paranoia. Para means to connect with. To connect with or to pair up with. What happens is you're connecting with thoughts that aren't from God about this kingdom. And it brings paranoia. Worry, fear, anxiety, paranoia, fear. You see, that's where all that comes from. When you understand the kingdom, repent. When you connect, when the king is in charge, peace is the manifestation. He said, in his perfect peace, he will keep you whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, when you don't have peace, it's because your mind didn't stay on him. It went somewhere else. Your peace left when you left, your mind goes somewhere else. Did you catch that? But when you understand and you keep your mind stayed on him, he produces peace in you. You see that? Adam was the first man. He was the prototype of the first man. He had everything. A garden. I mean food. I mean a woman. He had everything. Not one need. Every need was met, and everything was there for the rest of eternity. When I watch, here comes the snake. Gets Eve to deceive Adam. And now he sinned. Separation took place. We all fall under Adam's disobedience. By one man's disobedience, many became sinners. We're talking about Adam. But by the obedience of one, many will be made righteous. That's talking about Jesus. Now listen, Jesus, you paying attention? Jesus is called the second Adam. He's the prototype of the new creation. Are you hearing me? When you become a Christian, it says you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You're a new creation, and you are going to rule in the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth. That's what the Bible says. And that's why Jesus is coming back, for the new creation. And one day, if you're born again and you're in, you're going to rule with him for all eternity, the new creation. Jesus was the prototype of the new creation. Now pay attention. Here's Jesus. Jesus, listen, Jesus is in the wilderness, a desert. everything against him. Everything. Hadn't he eaten for 40 days and 40 nights? Everything was against him. And the devil comes to Jesus. Turn this stone to bread. Everything was against him. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus took everything for you and me. And he could have easily been disobedient, but he was obedient because of all of us. I'm telling you, this word is alive. You see, when you have self-control, you respond differently. That's the Holy Spirit in you helping you. When you understand and you have self-control and you get rejected, well, you know, they hurt me. But you see, here it is. The Holy Spirit will show you they weren't in my plan for your life. So that rejection never becomes resentment and bitterness. Rejection becomes your protection. See, that's a whole nother way to think. That's all altogether different. See that person that works bothering you all the time? God wants you to be blessing them and praying for them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Bless them. You can't do that without Jesus. Are you listening to me? So rejection is really for your protection. Well, they stabbed me in the back. And the Holy Spirit will say, you need to reframe that. They stabbed you in the back. You're just going into another season. You won't need them along the journey anymore. Loyalty can only be demonstrated when it's given the opportunity not to be. You stay loyal to him, he's going to show you. He's going to show you something about you you have never seen before. You ready? So self-control is what we're talking about today. And it's not what you do, it's the outcome of who you're connected with. Because fruit is always for other people. You see that? You see that? That's huge. Because see, if you're not producing fruit for other people, you're consumed with yourself. You're full of yourself. And that'll make you miserable. If you're full of yourself and always got your mind on yourself, you're going to be miserable than a goose in a hailstorm. So now, I want you to go with me to John 10:10. See, this idea of renewing your mind is huge. Romans 8:6 says, a carnal mind brings death. The word death means separation. A carnal mind is dependent on the culture. You see that? You don't want to go to culture to learn how to have a healthy marriage. You don't want to go to culture to learn how to handle your finances. You see that? You don't want to go to culture for answers and solution. You want to go to God. That's what a carnal mind does. It goes to itself and the culture, and you won't find answers. But it says the spiritual mind, John 8:6, brings life and peace. Life is the word Zoe. The word Zoe is the God kind of life. God has a life that he created you for, and it resides in his will. You know, God gave us all free will. Free will. He wants you to serve him because you want to. You see, when you do his will, the results aren't up to you. They're up to him. And he's going to make sure you're fulfilled. Did you catch that? When you do his will, he's going to make sure you're fulfilled. Am I saying it's easy? I'm not saying it's easy. Because it's going to get difficult at times. It's going to get real difficult at times. Because it can be messy. Changing your mind. Changing a fortress. Remember, a stronghold is a fortress. It's a pattern brought from your parents or pain from your childhood. A fortress that you built in your mind to protect what comes in. And see, what happens is you'll be so protective, protecting yourself, you won't let truth get in. You'll always be on the defense. When somebody tries to tell you truth, no. Because you got hurt and you got this fortress built in your mind. That's why he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You see, that argument is God. God's trying to get truth in. And when you're arguing, that's evidence that you got a stronghold of pain in your life. Or a pattern. Maybe your parents left you. Maybe your dad left you. Maybe your mom left. Maybe you never had parents. That's not the issue. The issue is God had a plan for you. Remember? It doesn't matter if you were conceived in a Volkswagen with the floorboard rusted out and leaking and a thunderstorm under a bridge. God has you here for a reason. And he's trying to get your attention. And that's what it's all about. And when we get into a pity party, well, that's you're full of yourself, you see. And God can't get to you because you're keeping him out. He wants you to get an agreement so he can show you, so you can be fulfilled and fulfill his plan and purpose in your life. Now look, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. Who's the thief? Boy, somebody knew what it was. They said that with assurance. The devil. That's right. That's the devil. That's all he does. He's studying your life. Because, see, he can't do anything to you unless he first steals from you. See, that's order there. Steals to kill and destroy. Kill doesn't mean to just take your life. Because I'm going to tell you something. He can't even take your life without God's permission. Kill could mean a relationship, a business, a career. It could mean a lot of things. Now listen. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life. And that word life is Zoe, the God kind of life, the life God created you for. The reason you exist is in that. And he says, I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He wants you to abundantly experience life, full of life. You ever get around people who are excited about life? I'm excited about life. I'm more happy today than I was when I first accepted Jesus. Are you listening to me? I like being around people that are excited about life. Have life and have it that they may have it more abundantly. God wants you to experience his abundant life. Now, go with me quickly to Matthew 13. This is huge. Pay attention. Remember, what you're giving your attention to is where you're going. What you give your attention to is where you're headed. Now look. Therefore, hear the parable of the what? Sower. Now look, give me the next one. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, what are we out to advance? The kingdom. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Seed by the wayside. See, by the wayside, it's not going to grow because it got snatched. And all the birds can come and get it. Now listen, the kingdom, watch, and does not understand. You see, when you don't understand, it affects the seed. Are you with me?
I got to really make this plain and get a hold of this.
So the enemy doesn't want that seed to germinate. So you guys will come here, and there'll be a word coming out that can change your entire life and your direction of your life, or a solution, or a word that can bring healing in your life. If you don't understand it, he'll snatch it away. Then he'll kill the area that God was trying to bring life to. and he'll destroy it because you didn't give it enough attention. Are you listening to me? This word understand, this is the one I wanted everybody to come back for and bring your friends for. Pay attention. This word understand, it's the word tsunami. That's the Greek word. The New Testament is written in Greek. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. You got the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We got to bring the Greek in to get the understanding. The word tsunami,
you want me to spell it for you? S-U-N-I-E-M-I.
Tsunami. This is what it means. It means to come together. It's a compound word. S-U-N means to come together. To come together. Nami means God's wisdom for you to see what you didn't see before. Listen, you see, if you can't see it, you can't be it. That's why vision is so important. Get a hold of this. That's why the devil doesn't want you to understand. Because if you understand, you're going to produce fruit that's going to help people. Are you catching this? Advance God's kingdom and not his kingdom. See? Because if you don't understand, you'll have resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and contention. And you'll never produce God's fruit. Understand. That's why seed, he snatches the seed away before it can produce. I read this. I love history. I love biblical history. I read about, they found in this pyramid, this box that was over 2,000 years old. It had seed in it. Seed in the box, sealed. They unsealed it and took the seed and they planted it. They planted it and watered it. And it grew. It was a fig tree. When you put the seed in the right soil and the right atmosphere, it's going to grow and produce fruit for other people. Are you catching this? Now watch. Have you ever seen a plant break through concrete? You ever see that? You ever see a little plant grow just out there by itself, growing crack right up through the concrete? You see, when a seed begins to germinate, it's power. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to snatch it out of you before it germinates. Because if it germinates, it's going to break through what was trying to keep you away from God and bring health and wholeness and healing.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.